Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. No place in the Bible does it condemn gays, even though I know many of you would like to do that. Now, lots of things are about to happen as time keeps on moving along, you know, and years go by, decades go by, and you know, first we had Adam, and then before you know it, we had Noah, and after that, we came to Abraham, and time kept on going, and we got to Moses, and David came along, and then we got over there, and Jesus was born, and he, you know, came to earth to die for our sins, Son of God. God rose him on the third day. Time never stopped. It just kept on. And about, it didn't take too long before the church decided it's going to be the one that's going to control everything. And it started, you know, the Catholic Church developed and got the Vatican and Pope all going, and they make their claims. And got control of things, you know, lots of good people in the Catholic Church and everything, but there's lots of bad people too. Just about in any of the denominations, you got good and you got bad, and you got people that think they're doing good, and then you got all the various world leaders that develop, and we're just thinking everything is pretty much at random. We're just kind of thinking that, yeah, things are just happening as is, day by day. Some renegade person gets this idea and wants to control the world, so he develops up into power and becomes a Hitler or something like that, or any other kind of leader of the past. And we just sit there and think that, you know, year by year, you know, well, this kind of stuff just is happening or something. And somehow, maybe in some sort of way, God is doing some things. And then you have the enemy doing things, and Satan's side and demons, you know. And so we like to say, you know, maybe some of the cultic things are tapping into the demonic type of powers, the evil stuff. And then these are, well, God got them control. It's all perfect plan. There's nothing that is happening that isn't on schedule to the certain time that's going to happen. There's 6,000 years. And then there's a cutoff point. Jesus is going to return, be king of earth. Then there'll be another 1,000 years, and then the whole universe and the sun and earth will melt away, and a new earth will be created. And so we think it all fits right in. And it does fit right in. But people, there's also the thing that if all this timeline is going to be, and if the Bible is going to talk about things and tell us that certain things are going to happen, like a tribulation period and a one world government, and you have to take the mark of the beast and everything, with one world dictator that's going to call himself God, declare himself God in the temple, then you're going to have certain things that are going to happen. And these things are not fly-by-night things, so that means that you don't have to mock all conspiracy theories or all things that sounds radical or something like that, that seems to put together a story from the past. Some of these things just might be true. And if you start looking at the different sources of the material about the people that has actually done research, you'll begin to find out that, you know something? As big as the Bible is in telling the history of the world, you also have the actual history of the world. And how is that recorded? In the geological record, in the archaeological record, in historical record, from people's testimonies, from actual things you can touch, machinery. And today you got all the technology of the computer, and you got all these things that actually exist in the world, and you can go out there and touch them and see them and learn about them. And because one people says this is how it is, another says this is how it is, because you go to church and you listen to your pastor, doesn't mean your pastor's right. Did you know that? Your pastor doesn't necessarily have to be right on certain things. If somehow or another you're in some kind of a group that says don't listen to anybody else, you're already in trouble if you do that kind of thing. If you're listening to any sort of area that is telling you these other groups of people are crazy, how do you know they're crazy? Did you study them? Did you look it up? Now, I come on here and I tell you that gay is not sin. But you tell me, and you tell anybody, gay is sin. Why? You say it's in the Bible. But you didn't read it in the Bible. You listened to it from the day you were born to the day to today, and you listened to your pastors, you listened to society, your friends, your peers, you listened to everybody telling you that gay is sin. And you say, because all of these sources, whether you say you found it in the Bible or not, that you did not find it in the Bible. Somebody told you it's this verse. You heard the verse or verses. And then, one day, you actually read the verse, and you say, yeah, you know, they're right, there it is. Man shall not lie with man like man lies with womankind. And so you say, see, there it is. And then, you know, I have to scratch my head and say, how come you say that? Because all of your life, people said there's this verse that says man with man, like man with womankind. Then how? Now you actually read it in the Bible, and you say, see, there it is. Why is that enough? Why does that convince you that what you've been told for all your life, that that is exactly what it says? Did you look up these words? Did you look up the Greek words? Did you go into the ancient historical record? Did you go to a Hebrew person that speaks Hebrew and ask them? Well, I talk to people that speak modern-day Hebrew a lot. And they tell me that ancient Hebrew, they almost can't read it. Like they say, Hebrew of the Torah is almost like a different language, just about, in some ways, as to understanding what the words actually mean and how they were used. You actually have to go and do some studying for the ancient language, the ancient dictionaries for words in the Hebrew. So you, when you go to speak to a Hebrew person, a modern day person that speaks Hebrew is going to speak a language that doesn't necessarily represent what is written in the original Hebrew of the Bible. Now this seems to get more complicated. We've always been told it's easy. Yeah, it's by simple faith, by belief in Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God, and that God rose him on the third day. Very simple principle involved in here. Very simple. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love God above all things. Two commands. Simple. But this is to keep your faith. This is to attempt to live right for Jesus. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're obeying the Ten Commandments in commandment number 5 through 10. When you're loving God, you're obeying the Ten Commandments, commandment 1 through 4. So if you want to review the instruction manual for how to love God and how to love your neighbor as yourself, you go to the Ten Commandments and you get an instructions of how to do that. They're pretty general. It covers a pretty broad area in a very general way. This is very simple for us to understand, so we can then, therefore, live for Christ. But then the Bible is big. It covers some very complex issues, and you've got to study them. You can't rely on your education. You can't rely on your community that you grew up in, expertise, of telling you, as like when you suddenly start remembering things because you're about 2 or 3 years old and everything, you finding all of a sudden you can speak English. You had no idea how you learned how to speak English, those of you that speak English out there. If you speak a different language, you just speak the language. How'd you learn it? How'd you learn things about, before you even went to learn how to read and write, you already had grasp of the language you speak. You can have a very good communication skill language with anybody. You can understand what they're saying pretty well even before you go to kindergarten. This is pretty amazing. We always like to look at the kids when they're just starting to speak and everything. We say, boy, they seem way too smart for their britches because they're too young. They haven't gone to school yet. They speak such well. You know, why? because of the surrounding elements have gone into you, so you know how to speak and you understand body language, you understand lots of different kinds of stuff before you even go to school. Then you go to school and then you have other people teaching you things. Not only your family, your mother and father and surroundings, is now you're starting to set up a whole different setup of people that is telling you things, whether they tell it to you on purpose or just because it's their nature and their own surroundings, and by being a friend of them, you pick up on it. Well, this is so gradual. It takes years and years and years. Finally, you're an adult. Now you got really good, well-based opinion and philosophy about life. No matter what you believe, you have developed an idea of what you feel things are. Now, if you're living in a society like a place called Earth, you're going to have a whole set of conditioning that envelops all of time, starting with when the flood, and even before that, going back to Adam, because they influenced Noah and his family, and Noah and his family then influenced everybody on up. And it gets spread out until finally today, you believe what you believe because of a whole bunch of factors you don't even know. And one of the factors that started 700 years ago is a very complicated development of the anti-gay doctrine for a very specific purpose, for a reason. The Vatican, when you study it, has particular goals in the world, and that's to control people. As in, they have the right idea about things. They want to control the masses, and they want the power of the Vatican. It gets more into that because a lot of people really think they're doing God's work and all this other kind of stuff. Other people still think it's God's work, but, their God is Lucifer. They think it's unfallen, or Satan, or by some other name, but they just say God, and so they think, all the pagan religions didn't go around saying, I worship you, Satan, they said, I worship you, Zeus, I worship you, Jupiter, I worship you, Diana, and all that kind of stuff. They said it by their name of their God, and lots of gods are called God. I worship you, God. It sounds just like Christian God. That's what we do. We say all the different things, the Lord and God and all these kinds of stuff. Christians, you apply Jesus into it. And this is where we get in trouble in the different religions, is because they will apply Jesus in a different format than what that is of the Bible. And as Christians, we're supposed to believe that Jesus came, is the Son of God, the only Son of God. He was God. He became flesh. And he took our sins. He was the only person able to bear our sins, pay the price for our sins when he died with his blood and rose. Then our sins are forgiven and washed away if we accept that work and we believe that he's the Son of God. It's a simple way, but that is the way of Christian. If you come to Jesus any other way than that of the cross, you're not a Christian. You may want to be a Christian. You may wish it. You may think it. You may call yourself a Christian. But if you didn't come by way of the cross and say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I recognize this. You don't have to name sins. People sometimes want you to name sins, or they want to say, that's a sin, that's a sin, and maybe they're not sins at all. But you know within yourself that you're a sinner. For whatever reasons, you know that you're a sinner, and when you hear that you cannot pay the price of your sin, that the wages of it is your own blood to death, you must die to pay the price. And if you die, you can't live anymore because you're dead. You can't live with Jesus. You have to go to the lake of fire where there's darkness and gnashing of teeth forever and ever and ever. You can't pay the price for your sin. And when you come to Jesus, you recognize that Jesus can. You might not know why you recognize it. You just know that he can. And you know that. And so you say, Jesus, thank you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. And so you have this concept that Jesus can pay the price for your sin. This does give you eternal life because you're forgiven. Doesn't mean you become perfect. Doesn't mean you start living a sinless life after that. You will try to, but you can't because you're human. You will still be sinning when you die. You might do better than you used to, and you might do worse because you might think something is a sin, and so you go out and attack everything that moves in relationship to what you think because you're conditioning. This is where you've got to study to show yourself approved of God. So Christianity is based on Jesus in a very specific way. It's narrow is the gate to salvation, and broad is the gate to destruction. Any other way, they can't be. So this is the difference between any other religions and Christianity. But you have to study. If you're saying something is sin and you belong to another religion, you cannot say something is sin to a Christian. I don't care who you are. No matter what you are in the world, if you are not a Christian and do not believe in the Bible, then you cannot go to a Christian and say what is sin or not. You might tell them what the law says of the land, and if you break this law, you go to jail. You could do that. You could say that if you got taken to court because you're doing these kind of things, they'll send you to jail, maybe even execute you, maybe, or give you a fine or something like that. They could do this. But they cannot tell you the spirituality of sin. They can't tell a Christian. Anybody in the world that is not a Christian cannot go to a Christian and talk about sin. They have to listen to the Christian. What is sin? The Christian has an insight that nobody else in the world does to sin in the respect that sin is not in other religions as such. Anybody else that talks about sin, no matter what they do, they will never be able to get their sin cleansed. Nobody else in the world, if they are not a Christian, can cleanse their sin by any means, by any God that they may believe in. They must go through Jesus Christ. So another person cannot come to a Christian and say, this is sin. Now, if a Christian comes to a Christian, which they should, it doesn't mean this is your full-time job and you're going to make a big deal at it, and you got to know what you're doing when you're going to go and you're going to point a finger at somebody and say, you're sinning, because I'll tell you something. Every time you point a finger at somebody and says, this is your sin, you got these three fingers pointing back, and you got this other finger, your thumb here, pointing off to somebody else. You're pointing to somebody. You're pointing him and saying, this is your sin, but this is pointing over to your, what? Who's next to you? Your wife? Your husband? So you're pointing to them, saying, whoever's standing by your side is a sin, and you got three fingers pointing back to you when you're pointing at somebody and saying, this is your sin. And so you get three times the condemnation. Actually, the Bible says if you point your finger at somebody else's sin, basically, and judge them on that, then you're going to be judged back yourself for the sins that you have done in your life, like they have never been forgiven. It's a very complicated thing, but that's what the Bible says. And so, as a Christian, when they want to talk about people's sins, they got to know what they're talking about. Since I talk about gays, I say gay is not sin, so I got to know what I'm talking about. And how do I know what I've been talking about? Well, I've been on this, you know, talking to you out here for almost 18 years now, every week, in about three different states. I'm over here in Wisconsin. I just got another renewal of 3 months airing time over there in Wisconsin, in Madison, Wisconsin. Pretty neat to be on over there, hear from a lot of people over there. Hi. People in Wisconsin. So, and why do I talk to you? Why do I say gay is not sin? I'm not just saying that because I'm justifying my sin. You know, I got to be knowing something of what I'm talking about when I tell you this. What I want you to do is tell me why you justify telling me that gay is sin. Usually, if you're going to tell me that gay is sin, you got to use the Bible. And I tell you something, you better not use any other Bible other than the King James. If you use any other Bible, no matter how much you love these other Bibles that are modern translations, they have a historical development. No matter how well you read about how these Bibles are produced, they come from Westcott and Hort of the mid-18th century. You could go into your browser and search on these two individuals and find out their occultism. They pretty much, you know, they are pretty bad creatures, you know. Do you know that? I always talk about Masons and all this, secret societies and all that. Well, you know, these people are really tops in this field. They have developed some of the most elitist of elite groups the world has ever known. From these two little individuals that I bet you most of you Christians don't even know exist. Westcott and Hort. And the more you read about them, the more of the societies that they developed and the members of those societies today is really amazing, of the people that has the power in the world today that are directly related to the founding father, Westcott and Hort, of these. And they developed all the modern translations that has 50,000 to 80,000 corruption. So you need to know what Bible you're using. King James made it. It may not be completely perfect, but at least it's nearly, as it were, error-free or corruption-free. It's got corruption, but at least these weren't so intentional as with the Westcott and Hort Bibles. Westcott and Hort Bibles, the more you read about it, you'll find how intentional it is. I call them counterfeit Satan Bibles. There's counterfeit Bibles. Satan counterfeited them. You're not going to have a Bible that's going to say Satan, Holy Bible of Satan. It's going to be said Holy Bible. It's going to look like the Christian Bible. It's going to sound like the Christian Bible. It's going to have much of the same thing as the Christian Bible has on, but there's going to be a subtle difference. It takes Jesus out of the Christ out of Jesus, and it's going to do something differently about the way the tribulation will take place. But even with the King James Bible, you got to do some studying. It's got the these and thous, and you got to kind of understand this is kind of an ancient language itself, and you got to get through and break through some of these situations, especially when you're going to talk about big subjects like is gay sin or not. And gay is not sin, and you'll find out that the foundation to condemn gays is based on the word sodomite, and you can't go inventing your idea of what sodomite means. You have to use the Bible's meaning, which is male temple prostitute. That's the only thing that the Bible gives as a meaning in the ancient Hebrew for the word sodomite. It doesn't say a citizen of Sodom. It says a male temple prostitute. I'm out of time here. So you better get ready, because there's a couple of projects that the government's doing. It's developing the whole concept for about 5,000 years to now we're getting in the grand finale that's going to bring in the tribulation period. There's a blue bean project, cloverleaf project. I always mention cloverleaf project because you could see that. You could look in the sky and see that. Chemtrails and stuff. But anyway, time's up. If you do not know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. I recognize I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer like that gets you saved. Now, you need to start to study. Read the Bible, learn about Jesus Christ, the King James Version, and then keep your eyes open. The great deception is going to be like the faked second coming of Jesus and the fake rapture. And before that, a lot of stuff is going to be seen by you, scare you to death. Besides, lots of stuff the government's going to do is scare you to death. Things aren't going to be fun very soon. See you next week.